In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and we're doing something different today. I'm going to be questioning an author, Father Steve, and we're going to talk about his book, Fingerprints of God, Where Heaven Meets the Earth. So, Father Steve, I'm glad to be with you today.
It's good to be with you, Father Tom, and thank you for giving me the opportunity today to talk about the book on your radio program. I'm happy to address any questions that you may have.
Okay, the first thing I want you to do is to tell the people who are listening, you know, what is this book about? Like, what does it talk about? So that they know exactly, like thumbnail, that this is what we're talking about.
Yes, Father Tom. Essentially, in its most basic sense, the book addresses the issue of the reported apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the town of Medjugorje in Europe since 1981. As many of your listeners have heard, the Virgin Mother is reported to appear to six individuals since June of 1981. And this is a daily occurrence for three of them. It was daily for the other three. Now the other three are having a vision either once a month or once a year. So the book addresses this kind of extraordinary and very unusually lengthy period of apparitions and what the essential meaning is of the event for all of us. I try to approach it both from a personal witness based on numerous trips I've made over there, what I've seen and experienced in the village itself, but also I try to approach the subject from a more objective point of view and give consideration to what the church has observed, what the bishops have observed, what the psychological tests have conveyed, and then also branch into what have people experienced. There's been many good fruits that have come from this event. I talk about how people have experienced conversion, how so many have gone back to confession, how people have been cured of illnesses. And, you know, I talk about all these types of good fruits, and then I try to apply the message the Madonna has reportedly given to, I try to compare that to the Bible, show the similarity between the Medjugorje message and what the Bible has said, what Christ said in the Gospels. And, you know, that's kind of the more objective outlook I try to give to the book as well. So that's a brief snapshot of what my book addresses. It's about the reported appearances of the Madonna and what in general the Medjugorje message means for all of us.
I remember when this first happened, I remember Father Randall talked about it, and these six visionaries, they never intended to be visionaries. What were they doing when our Blessed Mother showed up?
Well, these were almost all teenagers. Five out of six were simply teenagers. One was a 10-year-old boy at the time this first happened, and they were just living the lives that children ordinarily live. They went to school, they had summer vacation, and this started in the summertime. They were walking, two girls were walking on the first day, Ivanka and Mariana. They first were the ones to see the Madonna appear on a hill. The following day, on the 25th, they were a total of six that reported to see her, and this became the group of six which have consistently witnessed to the vision since then. But the children, you know, they consider themselves to be very ordinary, and they questioned from the beginning, why, Blessed Mother, did you choose us? I mean, we are just like any other children, any other person. The Blessed Mother reportedly responded. She said, "I do not necessarily choose the best." So that gives us some idea. The Blessed Mother will also often choose simple children to convey her message for reasons known to her. She prefers simple children to communicate to, perhaps because children are simple themselves in the way that they will transmit that.
Yes, we think of Fatima, we think of the three children, we think of how our Blessed Mother showed herself to these three children, Francesco, Lucia, and Jacinta. And the message was that we were to repent, we were to give our lives to Jesus. The message of Medjugorje, is it the gospel message, or is it a new message?
No, it's not a new message. It is an echo of the gospel. It is a call to repentance. It is a strong and urgent message for people to practice conversion in their lives. The Blessed Mother sees the world as it is, and some people are genuinely living according to their faith, but there's many people that are not, and she is concerned about that as a mother, to see how many have drifted. So it's an urgent call to conversion for those that are not really taking the spiritual life that seriously. She encourages strongly to take the gospel seriously, pray, go to church, read the Bible, go to confession, practice repentance. All of these themes, of course, we know this is what Fatima also stressed. This is what Jesus has called us to. The Blessed Mother is not sending a new message, but it is as apparitions often are, they accentuate a part of the gospel that needs to be stressed. And Mary is stressing especially the importance of prayer. She constantly is asking us to pray more and to practice conversion. She said that conversion is the most important message that I have given from this place.
I remember when the youngest one, I think his name is Yakov. The youngest one was having apparitions every day, and I remember when he got all the secrets that they stopped, and he was under deep depression because he wasn't seeing a Blessed Mother every day. And he had become so, what's the word?
Sad.
Yeah, very sad, because he wanted more, anyway, he's come out of that. And there are three that are still seeing her every day. About what time does this happen?
This happens, it's around the early evening hour. Sometimes it's 5:40, sometimes it's 6:40. It depends on, whether... we're in the daylight savings time or not. So it's either 5:40 or 6:40, and very consistent, the same time every day. The visionaries have this experience. Now, there's still three, as I mentioned, that are having this daily, and their names are Ivan, Vizca, and also Maria. So they are still having the daily experiences, and Yakov and Mariana and Ivanka either have the experience once a month or once a year.
Why in this remote village, like it's a hard place to get to, why does our Blessed Mother go to this remote village? It's remote. Taking planes, it takes hours and hours and hours to get there. Then you need to take a bus. As you can see, I've been there. Why in a remote area of Medjugorje that something like this would happen and not in New York City?
It's a very good question. It is far out. I know you're right. It's from both of our travels. It does take quite a bit of effort to get over there. But the visionaries asked her this question right from the start. And she said that she chose this parish because of the strong faith of the people. And I'm sure the Blessed Mother could foresee that this was going to go on for some time. She wanted an environment where people had a particularly strong faith, and the Catholic Croatian people there are very impressive in the way that they approach their devotions and their faith. They are solid Catholics in the parish, and now they're even more solid now. and they needed, the Blessed Mother needed to choose a place where she probably could see that people from all over the world were going to come. And I think in history she's chosen out of the way places before. She tends not to go to like a, you know, metropolitan area, I think, where there's more distractions. And in a simple place, in a, the way Medjugorje was, it was just a simple rural village where people lived off of tobacco and grapes and fields everywhere. I think in that setting, it's easier for people to get more focused, and perhaps that had something to do with it as well. But first and foremost, she said it was because of the faith of the people.
When you go to the evening service, it's mobbed. It's mobbed. So many people are there. Then they have masses during the morning. And what time is the English Mass?
Okay, when I was last there in 2011, they were still having the English Mass at 10 o'clock in the morning. I believe that's still the case. I believe the 10 o'clock English Mass is pretty consistent, has been for some time. And then a Mass is offered in various other languages throughout the day. The most popular Mass is the evening Croatian Mass at I believe it's 6 o'clock. There is a huge crowd that comes every night. And now in the warmer months of the year, they have built an altar outside so that people can gather outside in the back of the church, and it's much more comfortable to go to services because there's such a huge area and it's not crammed in like it, you know, that some many people have had the experience inside the church when the huge crowds gather. So in the warmer months, it's refreshing to be able to sit outside and go to Mass or go to Eucharistic Adoration.
I remember going to Eucharistic Adoration. I'll never forget this, because I wasn't looking for it, and we were hearing these funny noises, and I knew what the noises were. They were somebody that was oppressed by demons. And I'll never forget, you know, the people came to me, and there were all these people praying, you know, and I'm praying for this woman, and the demons came out of her. She was a new person. That God acts with his faith. And when you go to Medjugorje, people are expecting things to happen. And as a matter of fact, when you expect things to happen, they begin to happen. When you don't expect things to happen, nothing happens. Blessed are those who expect nothing from God. They shall not be disappointed. That's sad. It's sad, but you talk about most of the churches. What are they expecting from God? What are they expecting from God? You know, they're expecting to be healed, there's healing. They're expecting to be become new creations. Oh, there's conversion. But what do people expect? You know, there are lots of people that go to Medjugorje that have no faith. But what happens when they come home?
Yes, people often witness after being on pilgrimage to Medjugorje that they have experienced changes. And the most common thing that I have heard is that people discover peace in Medjugorje. And I myself felt that when I first went in 1988. I was over there with my dad. I was troubled at the time over some kind of work issue. I wasn't really sure where to go with my career. And by the end of the week, all those anxieties, confusion, concern, whatever, it was like they didn't exist anymore. I was just peaceful, confident, hopeful. So something settled in to me that first time I went there. And then as so many people have attested to, when they try to practice the message that that the Mother of God is recommended, my faith deepened over the next 2 or 3 years as I tried to, you know, pray more, as I tried to you know, start attending daily Mass as well as weekend, and I started to go to confession once a month, and, you know, my faith got stronger. And I think this is what happens if people live according to the gospel, they live according to what Mary recommends, there are fruits that come from that, and we can find more peace in our lives. And so this is what I've heard most often from the Medjugorje pilgrims, is that they have had that greater experience of peace.
When you go to Medjugorje, one thing you find out is on the side of the church, there are these little houses. All these little houses, so many little houses. What happens in those little houses?
You mean the residential homes or the...
Confessionals.
Oh, the confessionals. Well, this is a fruit of Medjugorje that is kind of remarkable. It really is. I mean, because on many days during this phenomenon, the confessional lines have been very long. And on some days, they have required more than 100 priests to be able to hear all the confessions of the people for that day. I remember one pilgrimage, I was there in December, and each night I went over to Mass, I was really impressed to see, even though it was colder in December, on average, I would say 35 or 40 people in line for confession every night that I went over there. You know, so it's a grace that has come through this. Our Lady requested monthly confession. I think that was an impetus to encourage many people to take the sacrament more seriously. And clearly over there, people do at the youth pilgrimage every August. I'm refreshed to hear. And also I saw once when I went to the youth pilgrimage, so many of the kids went to confession. I'm just all over the place. I see kids with the priests for the confessions. And that's another wonderful thing, that so many kids, young people, teenagers, young adults, they have also been touched by this. And usually they get about 40,000 youth to come to the annual youth pilgrimage in August.
Something is happening in Medjugorje that's not happening throughout the world. Something is happening. You have to admit that something is happening. Whether you believe the Blessed Virgin is appearing or not, there are conversions and people becoming priests because of the experience of Medjugorje. What is the message of our Blessed Mother? I'm sure it's not a different message than what Jesus said, but you know what? What is her message?
Essentially, I try to bring out in the couple of chapters of the book, chapters 5 and 6, that the message which she has consistently given can be broken down into 5 basic themes. And those themes are, first, prayer, second, conversion, third, faith, 4, fasting, and 5, peace. So it is scriptural. I mean, we know we've heard these themes in the gospel, and this is the way people have practiced the faith through the ages. And as I understand it, peace, the last one I mentioned, is the byproduct. It's the result of practicing the other messages. You know, if we pray regularly, if we pray well, if we practice conversion, try to turn away from the sins and draw closer to God, if we have firm faith in God, if we make the effort to fast, and we eventually get peace out of this, because we end up becoming much closer to God. Now, I can't expound too much in this interview because of time limitations on those 5 messages, but just simply, they're in the book pretty thoroughly described. Here, I just want to say, prayer is a message that she says the most frequently. She says it in every single message. And with respect to fasting, she's asked for fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays. She recommends for those that are strong enough to try bread and water. You know, she says that that's the most powerful fast. But if someone's ill or they're weak or they don't have the strength to fast on bread and water, there's a number of different things that people can try to give up on Wednesday and Friday if they choose to fast, if they choose to want to try to make sacrifices in accordance with this message.
Tell us about Artie Boyle. I remember Artie was sick, and one of the things that happened is Judy brought him to Holy Rosary and to Father McDonough, and then they went to Medjugorje. Tell us about Artie Boyle.
Yes, Artie Boyle has one of the most impressive healing stories that I have become personally acquainted with. As I understand from hearing Artie speak and from reading of his interview on Good Morning America, he had terminal cancer. It was very bad. I believe that it started in his lungs and it was spreading. And the outlook for him, it was just very bad. And Artie, I believe, is a father of 13 children. So he really wanted to live. He really wanted to be there for his children and, you know, see them grow up and play sports and things like that. And so he heard about Medjugorje and he decided to go on pilgrimage. And he felt that the power of forgiveness was very influential in what happened to him over there, and confession. And he had what seemed to be a spiritual healing at first. He was healed in his spirit of whatever the unforgiveness was, and he then went home after the pilgrimage. He reports to the doctor. The doctor examines, you know, the cancer. He takes another look at it. And he can't find hardly anything anymore. There's practically nothing left. Whatever is left is insignificant. And the doctor himself witnesses that the power of prayer was clearly at work. And it appears to me as if Artie's healing is miraculous. And I'm sure that it's one of the most strongly influential healings that the parish has had. It reported there's been a total of 532 healings that the Medjugorje Parish has recorded right now.
Imagine, you see, this should be going on in every single parish. This faith, this unction, this outpouring of the Spirit should be happening in every single parish. I often thought when I was a little boy, why do I have to go to Lourdes? Shouldn't it be in my parish? Because Jesus is present as Eucharist. Why do I have to go to Lourdes? I used to think, and I did, I wanted to go to Lourdes, and I did. I went to Lourdes. I've been to Medjugorje. And, you know, there are places where the presence of God falls upon people. And, you know, people who know nothing become the greatest converts to Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. It's just that way. Sometimes when we think we know something, we find out we don't really know as much as we thought. But the people that humbly acknowledge, you know, I don't understand everything. I don't comprehend everything. I need to learn more, whatever. They are the most open people. They are the most receptive sometimes. They're the most easily taught. I'm sure that you've experienced that in your ministry, Father Tom, as you know, dealt with so many people over the years.
Give me people who know nothing, and you know what? You see miracles. Give me people in the church, for the most part, and you know, they're not, I'm including myself, they're not expecting anything. But the people that come to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, they get healed. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. I'm going to tell you this. Medjugorje is the most active place on the universe that's taken place in the Catholic Church. And the Church will come to its decision only after the visions stop. The Church does not come to any decision now until the visions stop. And I want you to know that Steve has his book, Fingerprints of God, available for you. Maybe you can tell them how to get this book.
Sure, Father Tom. They could either order it online or they can call me at my own telephone number. If you wish to order Fingerprints of God online, you can go to this website. It's www.maryqueenofpeace.tumblr. That's T as in Tom, U as umbrella, M as in Mike, B as in boy, L as in Larry, R as in Rick, tumblr.com. Let me just repeat that. It's www.maryqueenofpeace.tumblr, T tumblr.com. So you can order it online with a credit card if you wish to do that way, or you can call me at my cell phone number. It is 781-269-5493. I'll try to answer, but if I can't, please leave me your name and your telephone number so I can call you back on my voicemail. I'd be happy to call you back and help you to order this book. So that's the ordering information, Father Tom, if they
want
to buy it.
Again, if they want to contact him, it's 781-269-5493. 781-269-5493. I'll say it one more time. 781-269-5493. And on the internet, it's www.maryqueenofpeace.tumblr. There's no E in Tumblr. TUMBLR.com. It's maryqueenofpeace.tumblr. TUMBLR. And the name of the book is The Fingerprints of God, Where Heaven Meets Earth. And I tell you, the Eucharist is the most beautiful experience that happens there, and they're all different languages and people coming from all around the world, and God touching his people through the intercession of the Mother of God, who said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." God bless you.
God bless you too.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.